All right, so officially welcome to Art of Channeling number 11. And it's nice to be with you here all again. And as we talked about last time, and of course, we knew this was going to happen and it didn't change when I was tuning into the High Council of Orion today, we're going to do more on mediumship today. I don't know how long we're going to do mediumship. I mean, it's obviously something that people take courses and do a lot of study on. And, we may go more into it. I would say if more people want to go into it more people want to go into it more deeply. So, we'll just see how that grows and evolves as people's interests are because obviously, mediumship is a very specific subset of channeling. And that, again, could be really interesting. And it also might, we're a pretty cosmic group by and large, aren't we? We've got angels and ascended masters. We've got all these really high-level beings. And so it may not be the form of channeling that really is most desired by our group, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes today, and we'll see how we check in with it as we move forward. All right. So, all right. So here is Polly upset with herself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do this without crying. Seriously, not kidding. I'm really upset with myself. When I set up the automatic payments for this membership group, I've never done this before. I don't know why I did it, but I did. I set it up for 9 cycles. And we can thank me, Rich, because she, bless her, she writes me these emails and it's like, but like, what's the problem? Like, so we've been doing these emails and she's so sweet about it, but it's like, I don't know what the problem is. So finally, she emailed me again today, bless her heart. She's so patient with me. And I looked deeper and everyone's payment ended and you should not. Unless you've just paid, and there are a couple people in the group at large who have just paid for, renewing, just for a variety of reasons, you can go back and look, and there you will not have had a payment come out since November. So we have to write that wrong. Go ahead, Mary.
I have a question because I checked everything. I will speak for myself. I started to pay in March,
At the end of March.
at the end of March. So for 9 months, the last main payment would be November. So that's right. I was wondering when you started that because we started our first meeting in April. So the first May, April until December, it's 9 months. So usually when you ask for a payment, so we
Right,
pay
okay.
the month and we start the following months. I wanted to understand that part.
Right, so I understand that. And so you're right. So the payments that everyone was making in the very beginning, which is when it was announced, and so people signed up in March, it was starting in April.
Okay, so
Okay.
we paid until December. We paid
Right.
November, but to have a meeting until December. So I guess 2023 is good.
But you would have still paid in December for January, and you would have
Yes.
paid in
Yeah.
January. So everyone, as of right now, basically hasn't paid for 2 months.
Yeah. Okay. I
Okay.
understand.
So does, okay, that jives. Okay. Right. So you're right. It started in April, but the point is we're 2 months behind as of right now. Everyone was paying right at the end of March for the April start. Maybe there, I have not gone through this, and honestly, I'm not going to go through it in detail. I don't have an assistant to do this for me.
Okay, but I registered today for a the next 9 month cycle. So
It's not a 9 month cycle anymore. It's an
yes,
ongoing.
it is. When I signed today, it was 9 months.
Okay, well, it's gone now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Holly, I just signed up and the 9 months was still there. So unless you changed it in the last 10 minutes, it said you've paid for 9 months.
Okay, thank you. Well, I did. So I either didn't hit save or it didn't save it. So I will go back and check. Thank you for that, Elizabeth. So anyway, the point is, like, infinite possibilities for those of you who are part of it. There's never had a cycle like, and it's one little box that I put 9 in, or you put 0 in, and it just keeps going until somebody cancels it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put in the chat here the link for, because nobody's been paying. So it all stopped unless you're Mireille, unless you're Elizabeth, and maybe that's it. Kevin, did you start it up again or not? Okay. So that is to start it up again. I will change it to 0. So it's just ongoing until whenever you want to jump out. Okay. Now, the other thing is, I admit this is my mistake. So what I create, and so I don't know how any of you feel about this. It's a very uncomfortable place for me to say I made a mistake, and yet I've been serving the group in this period of time. So I am not going to personally invoice everyone, also for a couple of reasons. Number one, there was a variable price you could pay. It means I have to take the time to go and, like, okay, I have to individually invoice everyone, and I'm not going to do that. It's just too much time. So, and hopefully that doesn't sound cheesy of me. Sorry. So I'm not sorry. I got to learn to be clear about these things. Okay. So here's the deal. What I did was I created a link that has a variable amount for two payments. So there's a $40, so that it was in there as some of you are paying 20 or 30 or 40 or $50 a month. Okay. So there's a link in there for 40 or 60 or 80 or $100. You just click on whatever it is and it will catch you up for those 2 months. Okay. And I'm putting that link in here now. Now, I did not have time to test that link because all this was being brought. It became clear, not brought to my attention. Mireille helped me with that earlier today, but it was all like solidifying in the last 35 minutes. And I thought, I don't know what to do about this. So I just thought, well, I'll just make a link. I'll put these variable prices in. But honestly, I did not have a chance to check that link to make sure it showed up the way I wanted it to before I had to get online. I hope you all understand. I'm really sorry. And I'm never, well, I won't say never. I don't think I'm ever going to put like a number of cycles thing in there again.
Yeah, I just click on the link, the second one, and it works fine. So
Okay.
yeah, it will work.
Thank you. I appreciate that for checking. Okay.
And infinite possibilities is okay. That's been going through all along, and it's all good.
Yeah, because the difference was one little box that for some reason, I don't know why, I guess it was just like, we're going to just start now and go till the end of the year. And I forgot that I had put 9 cycles in there. And so it just stopped. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. The system did. There's only one place that there is a problem here. And it's right here. But anyway, so that'll get us all going again and carrying on and all of that. So again, I apologize for the inconvenience. And if you're unsure of it, I really go back and check your credit card or your bank account or whatever you need to do to feel confident that what I'm saying is right and true and accurate. I did look into my Stripe account today and I didn't check everyone's name, but I randomly checked maybe five or six names. And I did see that there were no payments coming in after November. Unless you just signed up a couple, like Mireille and Elizabeth recently, you know, did that.
Oh, Holly.
Yes.
Give yourself a break.
Thank you. I just, you know, it just seems, it just like there's so much going on in life. This doesn't need to be a thing. But anyway, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So I'll quit apologizing for being imperfect. Darn it. So going back to the High Council of Orion and channeling and all that, as I mentioned before, everyone was here. We're going to continue with exploring mediumship today, see how you like it, and we'll just see how long we take it and how many. I think in this case, it's not so much in the High Council of Orion's court, but our collective court and whether or not we feel like we want to keep learning and pursuing more than that. I really think the thing of mediumship, which I'll talk about more in a minute, is just, it's really more, I mean, all of channeling is practice, but to get really good at mediumship, it's practice. It's practice, especially the evidential part of it, which we're going to talk about tonight. All right. So let me just bring up my little outline again. Okay. So we're going to start off with just our sharing and then move into the channeling from the High Council of Orion and then into the actual practice. And I'm going to kick off the sharing today because you've heard how, like, just I don't want to do mediumship. All right. So, of course, after we did that last month, did I have things happen that I didn't plan around just that very thing? Of course, right? So I have some new friends here, and one of them has a very old house that has ghostly activity in it. So we were getting together, she and I and a couple of the gals, with the full intention I was going to open the Akashic records of the house. And there were just a few sort of like spiritual woo-woo things we were going to do around the house and all of the ghostly activity. I mean, you can be there, and I've been there. And even that night it happened. And it's a three-story, huge, huge southern mansion. She and her husband bought it just a few years ago to run it as a B&B, which is how it had been run. But before that, it was somebody's home. They're not running it as a B&B. They just live in this ginormous southern house now. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so, but we're on the third floor, and they've had people stay in that third floor room when they were still, you know, hosting it as a B&B. And people would say, you know, in the middle of the night, so there's like these low dormer doors that would probably be storage. But multiple people told them that while they were there, like the door would open and they would see black families walking out of there, like carrying bags. And it wasn't a one-off thing. It happened more than once that people were saying things to them. And they feel like the house probably was part of the Underground Railroad at some point because of what people were saying about it. And they've got these weird headstones in the way back of their property that are identified in a particular way that if you look at history, it has a little bit of identifier on it, but not enough. So it was probably the whoever was the slave master. They got a little bit of a headstone with like initials on it, but there are probably a whole lot of other unmarked graves there just based on the, you know, so it's an interesting property. And when we're on the third floor, wood floors everywhere, of course, you can be in the room and literally hear footsteps like a man wearing hard-soled shoes. So it's interesting. Like, I don't think I want to live there. But I don't mind being there. Nothing scares me. But like, the stuff she tells me about what goes on in the night, or when she's working there at home and no one else is home and the doors just open and close and stuff like that. It's like, oh, anyway. So we're in her house. We're going to open the Akashic records and talk to this one spirit of the house, also named Sarah, who's definitely made herself known before. So I'm kind of like doing my part with the Akashic records for the house. So we do that. And then we, you know, I won't go into all the details of it. This was like 4 hours long, but it goes from me opening and closing the records to then channeling this woman, Sarah, and what she had to share. And she was the matron of the house, of one of the previous owners of the house. And then it got really interesting because we moved over from the chairs to the table and we were around the table, and a spirit came through and identified herself as Rose. And so the question from the group is, who do you want? What do you want? The letter H was given. So it was definitely that she wanted me, because my name starts with an H and no one else does, to share her messages. So here's the person who doesn't want to talk to dead people doing it. And the ladies I was with, they're all, yes, Holly, yes, do this. It's like, oh. And one of the gals says, Holly, what's the problem? Why are you deciding this is a bad thing? This could be just really great. And I'm like, So anyway, we're in this third floor room. And this woman, Rose, is very clearly there for me. And I said to the woman whose house it is, I said, I'm seeing a bed over there. And she said, yeah, that's where they would have the bed when it was a room. Well, that room was also the servants' quarters for a while, lots of little cots in it. But when it was a B&B, the bed was over there. I see it. And there's no bed there now. I said, I see a bed over there and there's a very elderly woman there. That's who Rose is. And she's very old, third floor. There's no, you know, elevator in this house. She's being very well cared for, but nobody checks on her except the servants who are taking care of her. She's very lonely. And she's like, I just knew everything about her and I was crying. It's like she was full of remorse for how she lived her life and how she lived her life and how who she was. She could see the evidence of it, as she said, in her adult children and also her grandchildren. And she just felt so badly for how she was and who they became as a result of it. So she was taking full responsibility for how these people were. It was very touching. It was very moving. It was so sad, because she was very well cared for. She was fine in terms of her body being taken care of, food, you know, all that. But it wasn't the family coming and sitting with her and being with her. It was servants, you know, doing their job, taking care of her. So she had a lot of time alone. And what she said is, there's too much grief in this room because I was here. There's too much sadness in this room. And she actually directed, and she said through me to the woman, my friend whose house it is, she asked if a vase of roses, and it was very specifically red, I could see them, could continually be put in this room, because when she put them in there with that intention, it was going to start absorbing the grief and her sadness and her remorse. And when the flowers had withered, or when they were done, they needed to be thrown out, like really thrown out, or dug back into the earth to allow it to recycle, and then more brought in, so that it was so interesting. Okay. So it was very emotional. It was very sweet. It was very sad. And then the woman whose house it is says, well, Holly, you saw this room before we painted it. And I said, no, I don't think I did. And because I was at her house, I think within a month of them moving in, but I didn't get up to the third floor. So I never did. She said, do you know that this whole room, the entire room, was covered with rose wallpaper? And I said, no, I didn't know that. She said the whole thing. And she said, we took it down and we painted it to the color that you see now. But there were definitely this rose energy in the room. So that was just my interesting little journey into mediumship in the last couple of weeks. Just
So,
wanted to, yes.
Holly, you who don't ever see anything.
Yeah, it's, can I tell you that I saw, it's just like a knowingness.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of a seeing. But it's really more of a knowingness, but yeah.
Yeah, you saw the bed in the corner,
Yeah.
the
Yeah, no,
rose.
and I guess I could say I saw things, but it's not the same as if I'm, yeah, I don't know. You're right. You're right.
I can see the rose wallpaper.
Can you?
Before you even started talking about it, I could see the entire room with rose wallpaper. Very
Beautiful.
interesting.
Yeah, so it was an interesting experience and again, so touching and how, for how much emotion this older woman, it's like her body was failing her, but her mind was still, there it, I would say she wasn't, didn't have dementia or Alzheimer's or anything. Like her mind was still good, but her body was failing. So she had a lot of time to consider and feel the remorse. So
She
we
probably
assured
didn't have
her.
distractions of TV and movies and music and computer, like in the room by yourself is a lot of time alone.
Yeah, and third floor, she's a long way up. Her body wasn't going to go downstairs, and really no one, like it, the feeling was the family obviously knew she was there, but their concern was, is she taken care of? They weren't curious about being with her as a human being and, sitting with her and reading with her, how are you doing? Or, that kind of thing. So it was fun and it was an exhausting evening because of everything that went on. Because there was also a trickster energy that came in that's part of the house. And so he was doing some stuff while we were there. It was really wild. But I just wanted to share the mediumship thing because as soon as it was over, I thought, oh my gosh, I can't wait to tell everyone in the group about this. So we'll see what happens next time. But with that being said, who else wants to share? Have you practiced any mediumship or anything interesting or curious that's happened with regard to any of your channeling since we met last time? Yes, Andrea and then Mireille.
Okay, so Gina was sharing last night that the house to the north of us has been sold. Before it was sold, I went over and I talked to the property and the house. And the property and the house wanted a family with children to come and live there and just be happy. And it's really interesting what happened. And then at another point, I saw a, because I was kind of wondering what was going to happen, this robed figure came in. I mean, literally out of the sky, landed on the ground with a staff and just went choink with the staff and was saying that the people that would come would understand the energy there and they would be good people. And I was just like, wow, cool. So,
So, Andrea, do you want to share for everyone who wasn't part of Infinite Possibilities,
sorry.
who is actually, now who's moving into the house?
Yes, I met the father of the family that a couple of days ago. So it's a dad, well, a husband and wife, and the wife's mother and three boys. And I don't know how old the boys are. But the boys loved the yard. They just fell in love with the yard. And the house, some of the neighbors have described it as being bulldozable because it sat empty probably for about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And So anyway, it's kind of cool to know that somebody's going to come in and just love on it.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. That's fun. And Mireille, you're next. And then Carol, I think I see you.
Yeah, I had two experiences. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was two different Reiki sessions I had for clients. And one of them, her dad showed up. He passed away a few years ago, but he showed up during the session. And he wanted to apologize for the for to her to his daughter for the way he was treated her when he was alive. It was not physical, but it was bad words when he was talking to her. So he did come during the Reiki session to apologize. So I shared that information with her. And of course, it's healing, at a deeper level. So,
Beautiful.
and yeah.
Okay, nice.
And for the other one, it was strange because, the energy was not moving the way it used to during that session. At the beginning of the session, it was really, really slow. When you walk into the water, your movement are really slow. So it was strange. And during the session, remember, it's a Reiki session, not a mediumship session. So it's so I heard violent death. So I said, if it was a mediumship session, I would have shared that information. But because it was a Reiki session, I didn't really want to share that information. But because we talk maybe for 1 hour after the session, I found out it was her nephew who was killed. He was murdered a few weeks back.
Oh.
So, but the funeral were only this week, last weekend. So she had the chance to kind of a contact with him, and so I talked to her today, and she said, I think he find his light now. May even because sometimes when they have a sudden death, sometimes they don't find their light easily. But so it was very interesting. So two different experiences in the same week a few weeks ago. So okay, interesting. So yeah, but it's really healing for all the persons I
Yeah.
talk to. So yeah.
That's beautiful. And I know in terms of channeling, maybe not mediumship, you've always had an intention to incorporate it into the Reiki also, right? So this is one way it's getting incorporated, or you're opening up to it. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And Carol.
Monday we had our little channeling practice group, and Andrea, I hope you don't mind me sharing some of this, because when you're talking about that being that came down that was like cloaked, there was this one being that came in for Andrea kind of at the tail end, and he was very strong, very firm, very high being, somebody I'd never channeled before. It was a felt like male energy. The visual I got was somebody that was like, for those that have seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston as Moses, so when his hair's all grown out and he has these long cloaks and he's going face to face with the Pharaoh and he brings his staff in, it was that kind of like energy that was coming through, but very, very loving, but firm, very firm and strong. and coming in to remind her that this is a time for her to assert, to love herself enough to create boundaries, to assert herself and her opinions, and to be strong. So I'm wondering if that was the same person that came, as he said he was ready to work with her as one of her guides, and just to keep reminding her about being strong and firm. So when she was talking about this guy, this being that came, I'm wondering if it was that same person. And his energy was like, so it was a lot. Like afterwards, after that session, I had to lay down because it was like so much for me to process through. It was just kind of like, oh my God, I've never felt anybody quite like that before. And so
I don't know if Andrea, did you want to reply to anything of what she's saying?
That's a good observation. I hadn't thought about it being the same being, but it was a very commanding being, almost like Gandalf in the movie, you know, you shall not pass, kind of with a staff.
He was very, but there was a loving edge to him that,
yeah,
very strong, very firm, but a loving, it came from love, but love and protection for you.
It could have been. That's really interesting.
Great. Well, thanks for all that. Anyone else have anything they'd like to share or ask about or open up to? Yes, Gina.
Well, I really haven't been channeling much. You know, when I was going through this whole whatever, I just didn't have it. I was not feeling open or able to channel. So I really, it's kind of a thing like, oh God, I wonder if I can still do it.
I have confidence in you, Gina.
I do too, but there's still this, uh-oh. Anyway, I've been doing the Stargate sessions, the meditations that the being Alcazar brings through. And the other day I was in bed and I was really wanting to, I was sitting in bed doing meditation and spheres and stuff. And I was asking that I wanted to have a better experience of connecting with my own higher self, or what I call expanded self. I like to think of it as not being higher, because higher means to me it's out there somewhere. So I call it the expanded self. And interestingly enough, Alcazar came in and spoke to me about it. And it was really great how the energy that was being brought through was showing me how I'm sitting inside my soul all the time. It's not somewhere else, and a little bit of it came down here, that I am in it all the time. And I can't really explain, you know, what happened for me, but it was a very interesting and subtle shift where I began to really get an experience of that. So that was really cool. So I, like I said, I haven't done much channeling, but that was a really sweet bit that came through for me.
Very nice. That's good. And I think you're gonna flap your wings again. Candace, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just realized I have a few things to share. One is that I've been doing these whale sessions, and part of it is to do a channel for the group. And so my friend created a book. It's like a oracle card deck, but it's in a book form. And she included one of my channelings from it. Like, she asked me if she could, and I said yes. So I am published in a book.
Yay.
So it's like, it seems so natural and normal because it's my really good friend, but it's going to be in the world and it's actual. And I think it's pretty good.
Awesome.
So I'm really excited about that. And then, cause I, this whole time I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing this class. I'm not like really getting it, or I'm not really a channel, or one day I'll get this. Like that's my kind of inner talk, but the reality is it's printed and it's in the world and people may read it. So it's really exciting. The other thing is that I was with the dolphins the other day, and usually I just have experiences with them. I don't write it down very infrequently, but that time I decided to write it, and I ended up reading it to Reet today, what I wrote. So, talking about the sharing from yesterday with Ishtara, and it felt really good to share it and to read it again, because I don't even know if I would ever have opened that up again. But it was really nice, and I liked the wisdom to hear it again for myself too. And then the third thing was, I got the privilege of being at Lori's house, and Lori Rayon, for it's my whale and dolphin teacher. And in her pool, she has dolphins. They're not like physical dolphins, but they are very real. And I had profound experiences with them. And so I would say that was, I don't know, like, is that channeling? Sure, I guess so. I mean, they were non-physical and I was having oh yeah. Okay. I definitely, okay, this would be an example of the channeling. I was with a whale and the whale just really gave me this transmission. And it was more than just words. It was a whole awareness of, you can be our friend. We're not just your teachers. We're not just your healers. We want to be friends with you, and we want to play with you. We want to live with you. We want to swim with you. We want to create this life with you. And so it was just, and I'm still like getting that, but it was such an up-leveling for me of like coming to equals with the whales. And that was just so special for me. So, yeah.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah, I've had some wild experiences in Lori's pool where it's like, there's no way you can explain it other than they're really there. So, all right. Well, thank you everyone for all that sharing. And so let's move into talking about a little bit more about mediumship. And the part about mediumship that wants to be expressed today, and yes, I'm supposed to say this first, and then the High Council of Orion is going to share, is the aspect that is kind of like the most elevated aspect of mediumship, and it's the evidential mediumship. And so people who are mediums out in the world, it's like their badge of honor or their feather in their cap if they're an evidential medium. For some people in that world, it elevates them to a next level. Some of you can chime in on that if you want. And so what does that mean? Evidential is evidence. So it means that what is being said by the person who's the medium or the channel is saying something that nobody else has suggested, but what's coming through is so specific, so clear, whether it's a name or they always wore a red hat or something that is so defining of who they are channeling through that there's not going to be 10 people in the audience saying, well, it maybe that is my dad. My dad was bald too, right? So it's something that's so specific, whether it's about a quirk in their personality, a location, something about their physical looks, something is evidence that makes it very, very clear. Now, I'm not pretending to be a medium, and you all know that. But what I do want to share about this is, from what I understand over the years from people who are training to be mediums, it's almost like you train to be a medium, and as you get better, as you practice more, some of those refining details come in. And it's something that, if you want to pursue this, that you can start ask, this is what the High Council of Orion, this part the High Council of Orion told me earlier, you can start asking to receive more of those details as you practice, if you want to do that. Now, here's my personal take on this is, if I'm one-to-one in a session with somebody and I say, I believe your mother's here, and that's the sense I'm getting is your mother's here and this is what they want to share. If, number one, if their mother has passed, that's a good thing. But number two, if the message resonates, I don't try to worry about that, but I'm also not pursuing trying to be an evidential medium. I personally believe that the evidential medium aspect of it becomes even more important when people are doing those group mediumship experiences. And there's a bunch of people in the room. And if I was the medium, I said, I feel like somebody's father is here. Did anyone have a father who passed? Well, it could be a lot of people in the room, right? So when you have a wide audience, or even if you have a big audience and you say it's somebody over in this section, which we may have seen that, but we may have been part of a group that way, or may have seen it on TV or in a movie or something like that, where they might move to a section. And so they know that it's somebody in that area. I personally believe that the evidential mediumship becomes more important in that group setting to really narrow in on who needs the message. It also is helping everyone in the audience believe it, right? Because otherwise it's very easy to just drop into skepticism. Well, probably, you know, could be 100 out of 200 people here have their father who passed. So, you know, that's not anything specific. So I personally believe that's where evidential mediumship becomes maybe particularly more important. And it could be important if you're in a one-to-one session, but I personally feel that in a one-to-one session, if I say, you know, did your brother pass? Because I feel like this is your brother here, and this is a message they want to share. You're in such an intimate, energetic space that if what's being said is resonating with them, then we don't need to know that, you know, they died in a motorcycle crash 6 years ago or something like that. But these are things just to open up to. And that if you want to pursue mediumship, or if you have somebody that's coming in, and you could even ask them, what can you give me that's specific to you that this person would know about? But be really kind to yourself as you're practicing that, if you wish to practice that. Okay. Because I'm not saying it has to be hard, because some of you may do that quite easily. But I believe that it is next level. It's not necessarily the entry point of mediumship, but it might be for you. I don't want to create limitations around that. But just, it takes a, okay, let me explain this the right way, and then I'll channel the High Council room. Okay, because in my mind, the message that's being shared ultimately is more important than whether or not they wore a red hat every Sunday, right? And so, and the transmission that's going to create the healing or the opening or the forgiveness, the transformation, comes from the transmission of the message more than those details. So I believe it's easier to just get that transmission, but to then say, okay, you are in spirit form now, and when you were in human form, what makes you identifiable in terms of your personality, your physicality, experiences you may have shared together that make it undeniable? That's asking somebody who's transitioned from into spirit to go back into the energy of that incarnation and say, this was identifiable for me, where the energy of the message is readily available through them right there. Does that make sense? Now, nobody's taught me that. This is just from the High Council of Orion. Okay. And to me, that makes sense, but I don't know. I haven't practiced it. All right, so let's hear what the High Council has to say around all of this or whatever else they want to share. All right. Greetings, dear ones. We are the High Council of Orion. Isn't this a glorious moment where we get to have these conversations that really are such expansive and multidimensional conversations, where in this group, the energy can flow and the conversations can be about all these really, in a sense, magical things relative to the 3D experience. And yet they're all being spoken about very matter-of-factly, are they not? Whether you're seeing somebody with a staff in the yard, whether you're receiving information from homes or those who've crossed over or high-level spiritual beings, these are not everyday conversations, yet they are in this space. And we celebrate that energy. We celebrate that experience because, as you well know, as you experience this, realize it, it becomes real to you. It becomes important, transformational, supportive of you and the people with whom you work. You are adding that potential to the collective. And remember, this is a potential that is an innate potential of every incarnated being. So it's waking up that latent energy so that it's realized in the human experience. And in this case, the word realized, we mean it becomes real in the human experience. And everyone who does this, it's not whether or not they want to channel, because ultimately channeling is you tapping into information and awareness and possibility and potential in the energetic field, which is part of every human's potential, having nothing to do with their spiritual beliefs or their desires, their spiritual strivings, their political beliefs, their education. None of it matters. It's all part of the field of potential of the soul in its incarnated state. So you're allowing this easier access, we would say, because it's not in the near future, but in the future. This is natural. This is expected. This is, what are you talking about that back in the day, people didn't know how to do that? We're at that time. And you can look back in history and see other times where people were growing into a new awareness or a new experience. And there's always that interface of the early adopters and the non-early adopters, right? And then you cross this threshold and everybody does it, right? You could look at it with the invention of any technology when there wasn't a car and then there was, there were cars. And then there were people who thought they were terrific and hopped right in and drove down the road. And there were some who resisted it mightily. Yet most everyone eventually adopted that, did they not? And you can look at this over and over and over again. And so what we're doing is moving through these technological advances, but now we're moving into the more esoteric advances that involve subtle energies. And so we would call you those early adopters who are allowing others to see and experience and see that there's safety in it, see that there's fun in it, see that there's value in it. This is not whether or not you're out there teaching or convincing people to do it, but just by virtue of you doing it, you're adding that potential to the collective. So we like to say these things, not just to fluff up your ego a little bit, but to really put it in context, because for all of you, as the visionaries you are, as the early adopters you are, as the ones who are moving your way from the unknown, from the known to the unknown and making the unknown known, it's easy to take it for granted where you are. It's easy to take for granted. And this isn't about ego, as we've already said. This is about really anchoring and honoring who you are, the capacities you hold, and your willingness to push boundaries. It's wonderful. It's okay to anchor this in terms of who you are and what you're here for. So we focus on channeling when we're together, and yet we're really focusing ultimately beyond the definition of the topic of channeling. We're really focusing on human potential. And you could say it's soul level potential, but human potential to be able to optimize your life experience, your growth, your trust in yourself, your experience of love, success, abundance on every single level. We're not just referring to money, but the idea is that you have a wealth of knowledge, of understanding, if you're willing to stretch yourself to open up to things that are possible that you would have no idea are possible if you are just looking at the quote unquote reality of what 3D life is. So not only with all this channeling that you do with and for each other, we really are going to be encouraging you, if you aren't doing this already, to use your channeling gifts and talents and capacities to support the next levels, whatever those feel like, in your human journey. Because you all have these dreams and visions, you all have these desires, and you often like to use these channel sources for very lofty experiential downloads or visuals or experiences. Yet you yourself using your channel source, whichever one is coming through that day or whichever one you're leaning into in that moment, as you condition yourself there, as you channel more there, you need to begin at, we should say need, like you have to do it. We're not saying that. You can begin to ask for the small things that will be supportive and helpful and solve your everyday mysteries. Because your spiritual life is led, whether you're in the car, whether you're at work, whether you're cleaning things in your home, whether you are out with other people, it does not matter. The spiritual life is lived and enhanced in every single moment. And you can allow that level of refinement and sophistication, if you will, to come in to give you the insight, the guidance, the energetic support to take whatever steps are necessary for the fulfillment of your dreams and desires that could seem very mundane. Because that's how it becomes very integrated into your life. When you include channeled wisdom relative to getting your laundry done, we're being funny, but not really. Channeled wisdom relative to the physical experience of your life, this is how it becomes integrated, where you're not saying, my human life, and I don't need to involve my high level beings in this kind of stuff. It's just human stuff. It's all part of the field. It's all part of what can be elevated through your relationship and your willingness to hear the guidance. Let's open our space to share some channel time together. For that is how whatever you're doing with the channeling, whatever you're doing with the expansion of your connection and receiving information from the field around you in a new way, that's where it anchors more solidly into your reality. So let's get ready to open the space for that. And we close this transmission by saying, be blessed. We are the High Council of Orion. Can you all excuse me for some? I'm being told very strongly I have to check on Bodhi, and he hasn't been well today. I'll be right back. I don't, he's right in the next room.
Spear for Bodhi.
Thank you. He's under the bed, and that's not normally where he goes, but his eyes are open, so I'm grateful for that. The rest, I can connect with him afterwards. That scared me in the middle of the channeling. Like, you have to go check on Bodhi. It's like, oh my gosh. All right, he's good. So we don't have Reet now. So 2, 4, 6, 7. Okay. All right, so we have a choice. What I heard was, or what I saw was, when I asked asking them, you know, how should we break up the groups? It's either got to be 3, 3, and 1, which we're not going to do that. So it's either 3 and 4 or 3, 2, and 2. But the idea of the 3, which we've done before, is one's channeling, one's listening, and one's receiving. And you've always enjoyed that as well. So why don't you weigh in on, do you want to do 3 and 4 or 3, 2, and 2? Okay, Gina's weighing in 3, 2, and 2. Okay, 3, 2, and 2. That's what I'm, okay. Yeah, all right.
I have another thought about that. Just we could even like practice group channeling in this dynamic of channeling for if we're one person and there's 3 people, or one person and 3, no.
No.
Okay.
I don't understand it. I'm not sure what you mean. Like one person, like everyone stay here together and one person's channeling.
No, if we're in those groups that you can channel for like 2 people at once rather than just for one person.
Well, the idea is, okay, so this is how this, you're going to have a choice in the channeling today. So if you feel drawn to mediumship, or if somebody says, you know, I have a cousin that I really loved and I'd love to see if I could hear from them today. So you can do that optionally, or based on what the High Council of Orion said, is like really trying to bring the channeling and that wisdom into our everyday life and not keep it separated. I hope that message came through clearly that way. So that idea is maybe there's something that you're thinking about or considering or working with it that you could say, well, this is my human side and I don't bring that in. Maybe you can ask about something like that and receive some specific guidance that you would say is more grounded into your everyday reality. Like, I'm thinking about moving the furniture around in my bedroom, or, you know, whatever it might be. Okay. So you can decide. So let me just get the breakout rooms going here. Let's see. I need three. Let's see if this will do this. Okay. There we go. We have a 3, 2, and 2. And because there's three, I'll just give you a little longer in your rooms. And so if you're in a 2 and 2, let's see, we'll probably go for 40 minutes total. And if what I'm going to say is, we'll do the breakout rooms. If you need to go run and take a bio break, just get in your room and run for a bio break. Okay. And then as soon as you get settled, it'll be about 40 minutes total that you'll have in there. So you can do the math on that in terms of, you know, if you have two people, about 20 minutes each, and three people, you know, you get 13 minutes and a little bit. All right. Have fun. I can't wait to hear what you decide to do and what you experience and how many people are talking to dead people today. Have fun. I'll see you soon. So, how did that go? What happened? Anyone channel deceased loved ones or focusing more on day-to-day things? What happened? Carol, please go ahead.
Well, I asked for more just like, you know, whatever is going on right now kind of stuff. But then I did have a specific example of some stuff that was coming up for me. And I was thinking it was an either or situation because I might not have the energy to do it. And then both Mireille and Elizabeth came in with some really positive information and a channeling of some really beautiful energies for me. And just I love the suggestion that Elizabeth offered about doing spheres for myself for some extra energy and then having the spheres break up into little spheres and go to different parts of my body that might feel the drain of doing a bunch of walking in the morning at the zoo and then going and taking care of my grandkids and having driving back and forth and then coming home again. So, you know, being concerned that I might not have, you know, it might be too much for me. And then just saying, no, just for one day, that's all you have to ask for is just getting a boost for one day and just having all these little spheres, just do some tonight, tomorrow, the next morning, and going from there.
Excellent. Love that. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Anyone else want to share? Andrea.
Well, let's see. I asked Candace and I were paired together, and I asked her to channel somebody that I knew from at least 50 years ago that had died, and it was interesting information. And I always thought that he had maybe buried something under our house, but he said no, that it was near our rose bush, if it was anything at all. And so that was interesting. And then I asked about our little ratty girl that's still under our house. And I guess she has like 4 or 5 babies, maybe.
Oh, wow.
But Candace got that they're still suckling. So I don't know. So we made them, Gina made them an exit door, but she hasn't exited. So that was interesting information. Thank you, Candace.
That sounds like a variety.
It was good.
Great. Anyone else?
Well, I'll share from that. I still want you to, I think it'd be good to ask somebody else too, because I don't feel fully confident. You know, I'm like, if there is something buried, you know, maybe get a second opinion.
Okay.
Because this is very new for me. And so it was hard, tricky, because I didn't really feel like I got like very clear, quick answers like I wanted. And so it was hard to know if I was making it up or if it was real.
Yeah.
So when I'm asked, you know, like when it's like ideas or just like working with consciousness, I feel more comfortable in that arena. But when it's actual questions that have a literal answer, I get like, oh, I don't know how to do that. So maybe it would just, I guess, be good to practice that. But yeah, because I was afraid of getting it wrong, kind of thing.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then and Andrea did an amazing reading for me and helped me to move some energy. And yeah, it was just really cool. And I kind of want to go into that more later, maybe even. So it was really cool.
Okay.
Thanks for all that. Excellent. Good job. Anyone else want to share anything about what happened, what you experienced? Yeah, Gina.
Well, I asked Kevin about this whole saga that I've been, this journey that I've been on this past year and into this, the beginning of this year. And just about what, I mean, I have a lot of knowledge already or intuition about, you know, what was happening and all that, but he brought through some really, some great information and validation for me. Cause I feel like it was my dark night of the soul, and that's exactly what he said. And, my hero's journey. And I just feel like I've been shot out of a gun, you know, on the other side of it, like I'm exploding like fireworks. And it's just a really amazing journey. And it was very interesting to hear what came through about it.
Yay. That's great. Congratulations. Anyone else? Are we feeling complete? Okay. All right. Well, it's fun getting together with all of you. As always, our next meeting is March 20th, I believe it is. Just verify that. Yes, March 20th. And until then, have fun channeling. See what opportunities come your way. And especially if you want to implement some of what the High Council of Orion said today about really bringing channeling into your everyday activities and thoughts and concerns and questions and things like that. And, you know, like I always think of it, have any of you had the experience where you've like tapped in, and this would be more intuitive type channeling where it's like, where you've misplaced something or you don't know where it is and you just tap in like that. I mean, I kind of think of like, that's a way of channeling for everyday things, not, you know, just you can think, well, it'll show up or I'll find it or I'll remember where I put it. But also, you know, expanding our thoughts about what channeling is to what we talked, you know, way back in the day, back in the very beginning, in terms of it being, you know, just opening to receive. And so those are intuitive hits and awarenesses of synchronicities and all of that. Yeah, Carol?
I do that almost on a daily basis. And they tell me where stuff is. And sometimes it's like really, you know, it's not in a usual place that I would have put something. And I just ask them and they guide me right to it.
Nice.
Like almost daily. So I do use them quite a bit in that regard.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, thanks for everything. There's going to be an email going out about the links and the payments. So I saw briefly while you were in your groups that some of you were already taking care of that while we were on the call. So thank you for that. But you do have the links in an email that will be going out in a little while. All right. Many blessings to you, everyone. Bye.